We've had the opportunity to talk with members of the Capuchin community in Detroit about the cause for canonization for Father Solanas Casey, and Father Solanas' story is so beautiful. I love the story of this humble priest, this man who spent so many years as the doorkeeper and impacted so many lives, and wanted to just give you an update here. Capuchins have appointed Father Lawrence Weber and Brother Richard Merling as co-vice postulators for the cause of Father Solanas Casey. Father Lawrence Weber will continue to serve as director of the Solanas Casey Center, a pilgrimage center devoted to the holiness and spirituality of Father Solanas, and Brother Richard will continue to serve as director of the Father Solanas Guild, an organization devoted to keeping alive the inspiring memory of Father Solanas Casey and his exemplary life to others. And they are both with me this morning. Father Larry, good morning.
Good morning, Sean. How are you today?
Oh, doing very well. Thank you for coming on the show.
Well, thank you for having us.
And Brother Richard, it's good to talk to you again.
Yes. Good morning, Sean. Yes, it is.
Father, can you tell us a little bit about what this means? I mean, how things are changing, and maybe give us a little update also on how the cause is going.
Well, of course, this has all happened because of the loss of our very dear brother, Brother Leo Wollenweber, who had been the vice postulator of the cause for many years. He passed away very peacefully on the 5th of October, right after the Feast of St. Francis, and he's worked much to promote the cause and, of course, to achieve the Venerable Solanas Casey, the first U.S.-born male to be declared venerable by the Roman Catholic Church. So where we're at now is looking for a case that we feel is strong enough to present to Rome with all the evidences and all the processes that have to be gone through, to present to Rome as evidence of God's favor through Venerable Solanas, a favor that Rome could declare a miracle. Mm. Brother Richard actually could speak more to that because he's been working closer with Brother Leo on that. I'm kind of a novice in this whole.
Yeah, Brother Richard, you and I have had the chance to talk about this in the past. Yeah. And where do things stand at the moment?
Well, it is a matter of looking or trying to find this miracle that we can advance the cause. He's still considered as Venerable Solanas Casey, and we are in need of a report of a healing, as Father Larry mentioned, that needs to prove that it's been only through prayer to Solanas that this healing has taken place.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very difficult. Very often there's healings that go on, and we know that Solanas has been very instrumental in them. But again, they will simply say, for instance, a doctor's report will say, we're sure that your faith has been very important in this, but as well with the treatment that you've received.
Mm-hmm.
So the treatment you have received really kind of disqualifies it immediately.
Mm. And that's an interesting aspect of this whole process. I mean, the church is very rigorous about really kind of ruling out normal medical processes or, you know, a psychosomatic illness or all of the other things that could play into a report of a healing. I mean, they make sure that there was a real illness and a completely inexplicable sort of change in that person's health.
Yes, that's correct. Yes.
Father Larry, you mentioned that you're kind of new in terms of the cause itself and the process, but obviously, I mean, you've spent a lot of your life really dedicated to promoting and preserving Father Solanas' legacy.
Well, yes, of course. I've known Father Solanas since I was a novice. I was a novice in Huntington, Indiana, where he had spent 10 years before he returned to Detroit to die. And as a novice, we were very aware of people coming to the monastery, and his pictures were there, and people would ask about him. So it's been a long time that I've known of him, and I'm honored to be trying to fill these shoes that Brother Leo was wearing for all these years and work with Brother Richard on this. But yes, and as the director here of the center, I continue to be in touch with all the many people who come through and just experience the peace and the grace that God has allowed the tomb of Venerable Solanus to inspire in so many. And while Rome wouldn't consider that a miracle, for us, it really is a grace, and for all of the many tens of thousands of people who come here. Mm. And I have, over these years that I've been here, been able to work, especially with Brother Leo in some of the cases, especially because I know Spanish. I've helped him, you know, translate a case from Argentina we had, which was very interesting. And so we're going to be pursuing some of these cases that Brother Leo, as he got older, was less able to follow up on as quickly. So that's where we're at right now. We've got a number of cases that look very positive. Brother Richard and I have had an interview with someone in Rome to kind of get ourselves some bearing on where we should proceed. And we just ask the faithful to pray with us that God will reveal the grace of the holiness of Venerable Solanus so that the Church can lift him up to the status of blessed.
Mm.
And then after that, we need another favor for him to be declared a saint. As you were mentioning, it really is about the Church being very careful so that we can say with certainty that it is God who reveals the holiness of these people.
Mm-hmm.
The, you know, an infallible statement when the Church says someone is a saint.
Yes. And Brother Richard, I think it's so beautiful that at the same time, you know, as you look at the life of someone like Solanus Casey, we have this beautiful example of a man who served with such humility and such passion. And the Church does encourage us to, you know, to kind of mine all there is to be seen, and also to ask for his intercession.
Yes. Well, that is the beautiful thing of it. And, you know, he was such a humble man alive, you know. He was just very caring for people all the time. And so he would try to help people to have the confidence and trust in God and not to worry. That was often one of his little statements. Don't worry. Things are going to be all right. God will take care of you, you know. And so it's been a beautiful thing to see the humbleness of this man and knowing that he himself went through some things in his life that, you know, he had to struggle with. And mm-hmm. But again, he surrendered these things to God, and he knew that things would be all right.
Mm. 14 minutes past the hour, and I'm talking with the co-vice postulators for the cause of Father Solanus Casey, Father Larry Weber and Brother Richard Merling. More coming up with them just ahead. We're talking a little bit about the cause for canonization for Venerable Solanus Casey, and you can find out more about Father Solanus Casey's life at solanuscenter.org, solanuscenter.org, and also at solanuscasey.org, two websites maintained by the Capuchins to just carry on his legacy and talk about his life. And I'm talking with the co-vice postulators of the cause for canonization for Father Solanus Casey, Father Larry Weber and Brother Richard Merling. And Brother Richard, how long have you been involved with the cause now? I know it's been a while.
Well, yes. I've been working along on the side, you might say, since 1972.
Wow.
I worked as an assistant to the vice postulator at that time, and worked along. And then it wasn't until 1978 that I ended up being the director for the Father Solanus Guild.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've seen a lot that has gone on. And as you kind of mentioned that the wonderful faith and the humility of a person, you know, and then you could just see how people were so drawn and attracted to Solanus mm-hmm. because of that, that wonderful faith and trust in God, and the thousands of pilgrims that come here on a yearly basis mm-hmm. is just unbelievable, and it's been a beautiful experience, and really praise and thank God for that gift.
And Father Larry is director of the Solanus Casey Center. What kind of impact do you see? I mean, as people do come to the center and learn about his life, how does that affect them?
Well, you know, we are celebrating our 10th anniversary here. In fact, this coming Sunday, we have the closing celebration with the Archbishop of Detroit, Archbishop Alan Vigner, on at noon. And anyone in the Detroit area certainly is welcome to join us for that. And Brother Richard and I, as vice postulators, had a meeting this past week with the Archbishop, and he's very, very supportive, and he knows that this place is really sort of a, holds the heartbeat of faith, and especially in this year of faith, what I am most impressed by as I work here at the center are just the overwhelming feeling of grace and peace and the inspiration of faith that people feel coming to this place. Certainly the beauty of its architecture and the way it's laid out, it is really a place of pilgrimage, journey in faith. And the humility of the tomb of Venerable Solanus and the peace that surrounds it, the closeness with which people feel his presence, all of those things, I've seen people come here. In fact, again, this past week, we had someone write to us and gave us a donation, and they're not even Catholic. Come here, we've had Islamic people come, and just because they've heard of Venerable Solanus, it's just a remarkable attraction to people looking for peace and God's presence, and he continues to be that. I oftentimes will refer to his very humble wooden tomb as his desk, where he continues to greet and to inspire people. This morning in church, again, and this is very frequent, there was a lady who came for Mass this morning, and she had lived in the neighborhood when she was younger, and she remembered seeing Father Solanus in church with his violin. And so we still have so many people who knew Father Solanus and met him, and we hope that those people could, you know, come and or send us a video of testimony of Father Solanus. We don't want to lose that history. It's just such a wonderful, wonderful grace that many people have been touched by this holy man.
That's such a beautiful thing to be able to talk to people who knew him or met him and have such vivid and wonderful memories of the kind of person he was.
Brother Richard, of course, knew him personally as well, and he's been a kind of a shirt-tail relative, I believe. Right, Brother Richard?
Yes, that's right, yes. I, of course, grew up hearing about Father Solanus often in our household conversations, and it just happens to be that his sister was married to a great-uncle of mine. And so that always made a little closer connection there.
That's great.
But as well, then, there was an incident within our own family. I was probably about 15 years of age, and I have an older brother that was in a serious auto accident. And he had broken his leg to a point to where they thought they were going to amputate it. And with that concern, of course, my mother said, let's go down and see Father Solanus. And so we had an appointment with him. We came down on a Sunday afternoon and met with him. We told him about my brother in this situation, and he simply said, oh, don't worry, things are going to be all right. And he left it go at that and continued to talk about his early years as a young man and some of the things he did and so forth, and knowing my grandfather and this and that, you know. So it was just a wonderful, delightful thing. And sure enough, as time went on, my brother's leg did heal, and he has no problem with it, but if you were to take a look at the leg today, you would kind of say, how is this man walking around on it? You know, it's amazing. Just a real miracle taking place there.
Was the Capuchin Order something that, I mean, had you considered religious life from a young age?
No, I didn't, you know, and it was kind of interesting because of the fact that with that incident of, or with the time of visiting him, he talked about old things that he had done as a young man and so forth, and how he had played a fiddle at barn dances and things of that. And he says, I still have a violin, and I play it now and then, you know. And so he got the violin for us and played that. And then it went on to the fact of his he has a special relic, the relic of the Wood of the Cross. And he said, I'd like to give you people a blessing. So he blessed each one of us. But just to step back, that in that conversation as a young man in that, he said, you know, he says, when I entered the order, he says, I didn't get to see my mother for 8 years. And, of course, I didn't think too much of it, but my mother, you know, as a mother would, you know, oh, my Lord, you know, not being able to see your son for 8 years. So anyways, he blessed us and this and that. And when he came to me to bless me, he put his hand on my shoulder. My mother's heart sunk. She says, oh, no, he has him for the monastery. Mm. See him for 8 years. Well, she never shared that with me, but she shared it with the rest of the family. And it was only after her death that they said this was her experience on that occasion of meeting with Father Solanas.
Mm.
So
that's beautiful. That is.
Yeah. But it wasn't 8 years, though. You know, it was like 3 or 4 months later. It had changed in those days.
Mm-hmm.
The whole experience of religious life.
That's great. And Father Larry, could you give us just a thumbnail sketch of Father Solanas' life and his path to the priesthood? I always find this so beautiful that, you know, he was called to the priesthood and was sure of his calling, and nobody else was. And he just wouldn't give up.
Well, so, Sean, last night we were privileged here at the center to have the entire community from Sacred Heart Seminary here in Detroit, the major seminary. They came for Mass with us friars, and we had a meal, and we did share with them. They had their formation night here. There were 140 of them or 30 of them, something like that. So we did talk about that whole process because, of course, he wanted to be married. You know, he proposed to a young woman and then another Irish family, and the parents were horrified that their young daughter, you know, they thought she was too young, so they sent her off across the country somewhere, and his love was crushed, and he went into this work, his jobs, and through it he began to discern that maybe God is calling me to be a priest. And so he went to the pastor, who sent him to the diocesan seminary in Milwaukee. And of course, at that time, the classes were given in Latin, and while he was very intelligent, you know, his educational background, he barely passed. So the diocesans said no to him. And part of what I was sharing last night was the whole fact that God works in strange and mysterious ways, and that what Venerable Solanas, in this famous saying of his, "Blessed be God in all his designs."
Mm.
That's one of his favorite sayings, "Blessed be God in all his designs." He, I'm sure, was conscious of that because he embraced this very difficult thing of being told by the diocesan seminary, no, you can't be a diocesan priest, try the Capuchins. He didn't really like the Capuchins. And actually today we are starting the novena that he prayed. He prayed the novena to the Immaculate Conception, and it would start today, and it finished on the 7th of December. And on the 7th of December, depending who he spoke to, it was either a vision of the Blessed Mother or a dream in which Mary said to him directly, go to Detroit.
Mm.
He understood that to mean to come to the Capuchins. And so between the 8th of December of 1896 and Christmas Eve, he arrived here at the monastery to begin his novitiate on Christmas Eve of 1896. And in the Capuchins, too, his studies, they saw his holiness, but they said, well, we'll ordain you a priest, but not completely, you know, because we're not sure you got your doctrinal and your moral theology well enough. And he accepted that with humility. Again, blessed be God in all his designs. And it was God's design that he shouldn't be working as a regular priest, but a porter, which is usually what a lay friar does.
Mm-hmm.
And it's there that people came to know his holiness, and he touched so many people. So he embraced all of those moments, even though they were humiliating, knowing that it was to bless God's glory and honor. And for that reason, he could say, blessed be God in all his designs.
Mm-hmm. And Brother Richard, I think that, at least for me, that's such an inspiring thing, that it wasn't, you know, it wasn't a matter of his ministry being successful. I mean, in terms of what he had hoped to have happen or what you'd see from the outside, it was a matter of what God wanted him to do.
That's right. Yes, it was his going with what God wanted of him, and he just surrendered his life to what was meant to be, whatever the superiors might ask of him. You know, there were times that he was transferred or asked to do this or do that, and, you know, he just, with such humility, just went ahead and accepted it.
Mm.
And the superiors could see this tremendous power within this man, you know, and his humility and so forth, and how people were being touched by his life.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of interesting because when he was out in New York for a number of years, for about 20 years, they transferred him to a couple different places to see if this would kind of continue on at the next place that he'd go. And sure enough, it did. And when he was transferred here to Detroit, the same thing happened. We used to have maybe 15 people a day that might come into our front office. And our house chronicler on a daily basis would write down what would be happening here at the community. And he writes some 2.5 weeks after Father Solanas arrived. He said, since that time, our numbers have increased to 200 or more people a day. So word of mouth got around of this tremendous, humble man at St. Bonaventure's. And so people just begin to pour in into the front office here, seeking help and intercession.
That's beautiful. And again, the 10th anniversary of the Solanas KC Center this weekend, and you can find out more about it. Special Mass in Detroit, celebrated by Archbishop Vigneron. You can find out more about that at SolanasCenter.org. That's SolanasCenter.org, and also check out SolanasCasey.org. I've been talking with the co-vice postulators for the cause for canonization for Venerable Solanas Casey, Father Larry Weber and Brother Richard Merling. Thanks to both of you. I enjoyed the update and also just hearing about your own experiences. Thanks for sharing.
Thank you, Sean. Thank you too, Sean. Just another little thing on our website. I can plug it. A week from tomorrow, we have our second annual Breakfast with St. Nicholas. We have breakfast with Santa Claus here. We have breakfast with St. Nicholas.
So excellent.
The website.
Excellent. So check that out as well.